This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
As we were worshiping this morning, I just saw that I saw a picture of us as a congregation on top of a hill with our hands lifted up, and it's as if the hands of Jesus just coming forward to us. And he's holding it out. He's saying, what are you going to do with your heart this morning? Are you willing to surrender that? Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take God's powerful hands, his blood-covered hands, to wash our heart pure as snow. So, Father, we just thank you that we can lift our hands up this morning and we can surrender our heart to you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful moment, Father, of just stepping into your presence. And Father, I just thank you that your Holy Spirit will minister to us now. And that as we sang this song, Father, the new song will start to birth in our hearts, Father, of our thankfulness for you, Lord God, for who you are, what you've done in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. We've been challenged in the last couple of weeks, couple of months, and amazingly enough, the Lord came through in so many great ways. And that's where I want to start this morning. I want to ask a question, and I want to start with a question so that you can continue with that throughout the message, and also end with that at the end, and really just sit and. And rediscover what is in your heart and what you're going to, what's this new season for you? And I want to ask the question, what is a song in your life looks like? And as I've said, the personally, the last couple of weeks has been amazing for us. And also very challenging. We had a good business, a good career. We gave it all up to come to Namibia in 2013. And throughout that, the Lord's hand was upon us and around us all the time. Even in the times when we weren't running on the path that he set out for us. But looking back in my life, I've had a couple of memorable encounters with the Lord. And one of them dates back to 2002. And I remember specifically, I was sitting, we had a house in England, in London, just a couple of meters away from the Thames River. And it was always the amazing thing for me, but we were having fellowship with friends from all over. And we were sitting in this small little house on the carpet, and we were all just encouraged to get closer to the Lord, to spend time with the Lord. And I've been dealing with a question back at that time about asking the Lord as to why did my father pass away? What was the reason for that? A quick background, my father passed away in 2005 due to illness and complications. And I remember specifically the night before he passed away, we had a very short time, me and my brother, like 5 minutes to see him before he passed away that next morning. And I sat with that and I had to deal with that for a very long time because I was only 12 at that age, at that stage. And moving on, being in England on my own, new friends, new people, there was a foundation in my life that was laid. So I had to ask the question to the Lord, Lord, why did this happen? And I remember clearly the answer coming in Romans 8:28. Now, who can recite that with me? Sarah? Yeah. So we get it up there and it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. And that's where I stopped. I just heard that. And in 2013, I had to give my sort of a testimony to a couple of young students in Swakop. And I read the verse again because I wrote it down, and all of a sudden I read the next part, and it says, and all are called according to his purpose for them. And by that time I realized I was going into full-time ministry. And this was such a precious moment for us. But there's two parts of this verse, and I'm not going to go into it today. I actually want to get to a more precious journey I've been on the last couple of weeks. So that was a key moment, and only realizing it 15 years later, understanding that God had a specific purpose in my life for me. So I don't know what the plan is. I've seen parts of it. We are standing in it as we speak. But going on from here, I know the big picture. But the coloring in part is still coming. The shaping, the sizing, the erasing. And amazingly enough, yeah, the Lord's just been carrying us and giving to us. So a new song for a new season is what I want to speak to you about today. And how did I get to that? Plainly because it's a new song in my life. What we have today, where we are today, is not because I have played a part in it. I only said yes. Matthew 5, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I only said yes. And I said, Lord, here I am. But you see, I have to admit that I failed so many times. I truly, truly failed in many instances of my life. I've sinned. But you know, God's goodness is, and His mercy is just so amazing, because He takes us and He uses those wrong areas in our life to teach us that lesson and bring us back on that path. But today, I can see, I know where my identity is, firstly, and secondly, I know where my purpose and community are. And I want to leave that with you, because it's something that I got from Yaku, and I really want to encourage you to hold on to that word. It says, we find our identity in solitude with Christ, but we find our purpose in community. What we have here today is a celebration of community. You see, as a congregation, we must also reflect in the same manner and see what the song of our congregation looks like. See, we each play a unique part in this song, because with our uniqueness in Christ, and that uniqueness conforms in the community, and that all forms part of a new song. But you see, this is how we see it, but how did the Israelites see it? So I've been spending time the last couple of weeks in Judges. And if you want a good action movie, go and read Judges. I'm only at chapter 14, Samson, chapter 15. And I tell you that I believe it would be one of the best Hollywood movies. Because it's just so amazing. There's just something of everything. But I don't want to go onto all of that. I want to get to the part where Deborah and Barak writes the song and sings the song to the Lord because of what happened. So when we get to Judges, we see that Moses has passed away already. He could not go into the promised land. And then we have Joshua, and he's sort of right at the end of his life on earth. And the Israelites are just going bonkers. You know, they just make things difficult for themselves. And now, we know that they could not really take in the promised land. There was five reasons for that. And the first one is the Canaanites had superior arms and fortifications. So if you look at the land, they were quite well put in place and could defend themselves. Israel was disposed to make alliances with the people of the land. And that was not an instruction of God. God's instruction was to clear it out so that the Israelites alone could stay there. But you see, Israel sinned, and they must be punished for that. And God was testing Israel to see if they would be faithful or not. And the last one, Israel needed to be instructed in the art of war. But doesn't it sound like much of our world today? See, God knew about it back then because of what's going to happen today. And he had to put it in Scripture. He had to make it happen so that we could be at that place of singing a song of victory today. So when we look at Judges, we start with the first judge, and you know, Israel sinned, and they strayed away from God, and God said, "Okay, cool, I'm going to leave you to it, but I'm going to bring judges in to get you out of the mud all the time." And he started off with Othniel, and then Ehud. Now Ehud was like a Terminator; he was a good guy. In the eyes of God, he was a stealthy judge. He went into the king's courtroom. He befriended the king quite well, and then all the king's servants went out. He went closer to whisper something in the king's ear, and whoop, king is on the floor. He closed the door behind him, and he goes out and he gets the army. It's just amazing. I love movies like that. But this is real life. This is action. And then we get Shamgar, the son of Anath. And then comes Deborah to come and help. And the people of Israel came to her for help. And she summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam. And Barak comes up to her and says to him, okay, so let me just say one thing this morning. I'm actually speaking already in advance for next week. All right, for all the mummies and the women in our Mother's Day next week. All right, so when we speak about Deborah, just think of that. Women are amazing, and we need them in our lives. And then we're going to go to Judges 4, where Deborah has summoned Barak, and she says to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with the chariots and his troops. And I will give him into your hand." See, I like this woman. She just comes straight forward and says, "This is it. Has not the Lord told you?" How many times do we hear that? Has not the Lord told you? She's just such a no-nonsense girl. And then in Judges 4:8, she goes and she says, and Barak replies, he says, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." See, that's the purpose of the judge as well, because God ordained it. God placed her there for a specific purpose. And Barak knew that even though he was a bit afraid, but his unfaithfulness, in a sense, Barak could help this and restore this. Deborah. And she went with him and battle, and the battle commenced. And when Sisera called him out, again, this no-nonsense woman just told him straight. Judges 4, verse 13 to 15 says, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 of iron, and all the men who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim, very, very difficult words, so your vocabulary gets well challenged, to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? Again, she reminds him of that. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And here, there was a hesitation of because of his unfaithful, or his slight unfaithfulness that he had, and he had to call out Deborah. God said to Deborah, okay, now you tell Barak he's not going to kill Sisera. It's going to be by the hand of a woman. And then Sisera runs away with his chariots, and he confides with this woman, Jahel, and she, again, whispers to him in the ear, and he's like, okay, comforts him, and then all of a sudden, here comes this Terminator woman. Stealth, whoop, and he's out of the picture. And there was victory for Israel. So why is this significant? Because out of this came a song. So we look back at our lives and we recall every situation, every encounter that we had. And then we get back to the place where there's victory in our lives. And what do we do about it? And you see, Deborah was a fourth judge whose story is a first extended account in the book. While the pattern of apostasy continues, Deborah distinguished herself as most godly of all the judges. It's ironic, the most distinguished judge as a woman. Okay, so again, just saying, don't always say to the woman, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. I had to be corrected quite a couple of times this week by my wife, and I thank her for that. But you see, she was a prophet and a mother in Israel, and many sought out her judicial decisions at the palm of Deborah. But you see, in everything that she did, she always pointed back to God. And here comes the long part. Now we're going to read Judges 5. So I've specifically not put it on the board there today, as I want you to please take out your Bibles and go to Judges number 5. And we're going to start reading from verse 1 to verse 31. So it's a short chapter. Right, is everybody there? Everybody still okay? Good. You're still following me? Please stop me if you don't follow me, all right? The song of Deborah and Barak. Then sang Deborah and Barak the song of Abinoam on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel. The people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. To the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jehiel. The highways were abandoned, and travelers kept to the byways. The villages ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When new gods were chosen, then war was in its gates. Was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 of Israel? My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Tell of it, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, and you who walk by the way. To the sound of musicians at the watering places, there they repeat the righteous triumph of the Lord, the righteous triumph of his villages in Israel. Then down to the gates march the people of the Lord. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Break out in a song. Arise, Barak. Lead away your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then down marched the remnant of the noble. The people of the Lord marched down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim, their route, they marched down into the valley, following you, Benjamin, with your kinsmen. From Machir marched down commanders. From the Zebulun, those who bear the lieutenant's staff. The princes of Issachar came with Deborah and Issachar faithful to Barak. Into the valley they rushed at the heels. Among the clan of Reuben, there were great searching of hearts. Why did you sit still among the sheepfolds to hear the whistling of the flocks? Among the clans of Reuben, there were great searching of heart. Gilead stayed behind the Jordan, and Dan, why did he stay with the ships? Asher sat still at the coast of the seas, staying by his landings. Zebulun is a people who risked their lives to the death. Naphtali, too, on the heights of the field. Just quickly want to stop there and bring you into perspective with what happened here, because the greater emphasis is placed on Zebulun. That's Barak's clan, and he had to fight the battle. He was sort of the chosen one. But all of the pillars of Israel each had their own land. So this specific victory was so great because I think half of the 66% of the clans of Israel actually came with Barak to fight against Sisera. So which makes it just so much more significant as to why Deborah did write this song. Let's continue in verse 19. The kings came, they fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They got no spoil of silver. From heaven the stars fought. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon, march on my soul with might. Then loud beat with horses' hoofs, with the galloping of his steeds. Curse Meroz, says the angel of the Lord. Curse the inhabitants thoroughly, because they did not come to help the Lord, against the mighty. Most blessed woman be Jehiel, the wife of Heber the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women most blessed. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he sank, he fell, he lay still. Between her feet, he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. Out of the window she peered. The mother of Sisera wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariot? her wisest princess answered. Indeed, she answered herself. She answers herself. Have they not found and divided the spoil? A womb or two for every man, spoil of dyed materials for Sisera, spoil of dyed materials embroidered, 2 pieces of dyed work embroidered for the neck as spoil. So may all the enemies perish, O Lord, but your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. Okay, so it's quite a long one, but it's divided up into 3 pieces. Firstly, 8 stanzas throughout this chapter. And the first one is thanksgiving. Deborah opens with devout thanksgiving. And then the next one is around the scenery of what she saw and what happened. The sin and the punishment. The deception of happiness. You know, sometimes we fall into that trap of seeing and sitting around and feeling, you know, we've got this happiness. But deep down there's a part of us that's being deceived by it. The disapproval of the inconsistencies of our lives. And then the defeat of our enemies, the role of our community, and the solid community, and disappointed enemies. So what's amazing here is that, you know, throughout all of this, it wasn't just Deborah on her own or Barak in his own. They worked together. They had the whole army with them. And they looked back upon the Lord and they said, Lord, this is it. And you know what? The Lord fought with them. But if we look at verse 5 to 11, we see that Deborah recites the mighty deeds of the Exodus. Okay, so she goes back to more or less the same song that Moses and Miriam sang when they got out of Egypt. And she feels the present hour is not less full of God. So let us not dare to believe that today is as sublime as any day of the past and live as though it were. See, that's the main thing, is this reflects basically on our everyday life. If you look at the song, and you look at the different stanzas, and I've divided it, I've basically created 4 categories, which I will end with, just to give you an idea of how you can place it, and how you can write your song at the end of the day, and move with it, you know. She describes the desolation caused by the foe, the divested caravans. She goes into particulars as to how the battle started commencing. And then she speaks about the stars and their courses, about how God also intervened, how he had the river Kishon basically flood all the chariots. Because if you look at the army of Sisera, they were great. They were massively. They could defeat Israel easily. And that's just so many times in our lives. If we look at the enemy of the world, he could so easily defeat us. But that's where Christ and God comes in. And in today's perspective, we look at how thankful we are for what we have. Israel was never content with what God gave them. They always looked for something else. Always, you know, when God bailed them out, they were happy for a while, and then that died off, and he had to go back. They went back to their own the gods that they other gods they served. And the question here again today is, are you content in your own life with what you have? And I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Are you in that place where you are content with what you have spiritually in your life? See, the thing is, we can't be content. You can be content with what you have in the world, but you always need to seek deeper and closer intimacy with God. The next one is the drone's view of our life. So I want you to close your eyes for a second. Imagine that it is just after, it's just 25 December. Everybody's giving gifts out and you receive this big box. Okay, you open the box and here's this little thing with four propellers. It's got batteries, it's got a remote control. It says download the app, the view of your life. Wow. Okay, so you connect to the internet, download the app, place it into the remote control, and you press the on button. This drone starts flying, and it records everything that happens, is going to happen up until a week later or something, but it's going to take you back to the beginning. What does it show you? Have you gone to that place, or do you see that place where you truly died to yourself to let God be God in your life? So this is a place where you can go to every single morning. Allow God to show you the drone's view of your life. Because how many times do we just let things pass, let things go by? But every single thing is recorded. We are busy writing a song of our lives, ne? You're all with me. You're all busy writing your songs. Firstly, your thankfulness. Then the overview of your life. You're going to give that to God. You're going to ask Him, God, this is what I see. How do you see it, and how do you want me to change? But you see, there's captivity as well in the third instance. That's the deep part of our life in Christ and our song of victory. That's the difficult part of our life. And when we get to that, I see two things. I see captivity of us as a person in the world, not letting that person die and allowing Christ to live in us. And secondly, I see captivity of the enemies around us, based on what John 8, verse 34 says. See, we have that authority in Christ to take the enemy captive. And God placed it as prepared a special place for them. And it's right underneath the feet of Jesus. So John 8, verse 34 says, and Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Keep that close to your heart. And when you are free indeed, you see the victory through Christ over our enemies. Romans 8 verse 37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creations will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so when you fly your drone and you see things that are taking you captive, there's nothing. And that's what our song should reflect this morning. See, Mark 1 verse 14 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is such a key. That was such a key moment in my life as well, when I realized that the gospel is at hand, because it came to me. I received that gospel. And in the end, there was a victory over my enemies. Because of that, I can write my song today. And I can sing my song with joy and praise and thanksgiving. Because I know that I am more than a conqueror in Christ who saved me. And there's a small declaration that I want us to make today. See, we all stand at a crossroad this morning. And we have a choice about what our song will be like. See, unlike Israel, that had to go through many trials, God has already sent a judge for us. And his name is Jesus Christ. So I thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice today so that we can live freely. As we look at our lives, allow us, Holy Spirit, to see it from your perspective and show what we need to change. We declare that we are sons in the house of the living God, and we are free indeed. The next one. And Lord, today we thank you for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and I declare you today as Lord and King over my life, and declare a song of victory in my life. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 to 17 says, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. So Lord God, this morning we take your body and we thank you, Lord, that you broke it on a cross, Lord God, so that we all can have a piece of it, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can just bring ourselves to you this morning, Lord God. Lord God, that our stone hearts can be broken as well, Lord God, and be replaced with a heart of flesh. And as we eat this bread, Lord God, we think of your body, Father, and we see that on the cross. But Father, we see victory in it. And Father, as we drink from the cup this morning, our Lord, we are so humbled by what you did. Father, we are also so thankful for what you did, Lord God. And that because of that, Lord God, we are free, and we are washed clean. And that the blood that is on the cross, Lord God, is also on our hearts this morning, Father God. But it's not the red that we expect to see, but Father, it's white and shining. So Father, thank you that we can drink from your cup this morning. Father, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And nothing comes, no one goes to the Father if it doesn't go through you, Lord God. So Jesus, we thank you this morning that we can declare you as Lord and King of our lives. And Father, we pray that in the times, Lord God, where we see too much of the world around us, Father, and living in that world, Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and speak to us and continue to speak to us so that we can die in ourselves. And in that same way, Father, stand up and live fully for you. You are our Savior. And we rejoice and we praise and we honor you this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.